Hi, this is Lorelei Kay, and this is another installment of the series, How Then Shall We Live? These are interviews with folks from Gallup Community and McKinley County who are active in our community and working for improvements to the conditions for folks in our community. Today I'll be talking to two people who have been actively involved in SOMOS Gallup, which is a group that organizes low-wage workers to improve working conditions, and it informs the community about labor protections and supports campaigns that promote workers' rights in McKinley County and throughout New Mexico. SOMOS has been in the Gallup community for about 8 years, and Andres and Kathleen are going to tell us a little bit more about that in a minute, but first I'd like to introduce you. Andres, you've been here in Gallup your whole life, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And you've worked in the community since you said 13 years old.
That is correct.
Yes, when did you get your first paycheck?
My first paycheck until I was 15. Mm-hmm. And I was working at TNR off of 491.
Nice.
North of Gallup.
And you've worked in a number of areas, but what are you doing now?
Right now, I work for as a receptionist for resorts and
hospitality.
Hospitality,
so
that is correct.
You're working in a hotel.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And some of that experience we'll be talking about later as a person employed in the hospitality industry.
Yes.
Nice to meet you, Kathleen. It's nice to meet you too. You're a person who also was born and raised here.
Yes. And I am Danae, born and raised here in Gallup.
And you've been in a lot of different positions here in Gallup. You've had quite a bit of work experience.
Yes, and just like Andy here, I've started work at age 13, mainly in my community with the chapter houses.
Mm-hmm.
Under the JTPA program. So it's given me a lot of experience and yeah.
And you've worked in a diverse in a number of diverse places. So what I've talked to you about was as in daycare, and that you had a certification to work in early childhood development.
Yes.
And then also that you had worked in as an advocate for disabled people in Phoenix.
Yes.
For a while. And we both agreed that it was nice to be back in Gallup and not in Phoenix.
Yes, it's good to be back in a community that's slow, not fast-paced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a kind of a tighter knit community. And yes. Back with your family as mm-hmm. well, I think.
Closer to my family, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we wanted to talk this morning a little bit about what SOMOS does. I mean, I just did the little brief thing, but we were going to talk a little bit about what are some of the actions that SOMOS Gallup has been working on.
Okay. So I just want to let everyone know that there is a group here called SOMOS Gallup. We are a group of working families. And what SOMOS Gallup does is they organize non-union low-wage workers to improve working conditions. We inform the community about labor protections and support campaigns to promote workers' rights here in McKinley County and throughout New Mexico.
So very active. And my experience, at least my minimal experience with SOMOS Gallup, has been that the initiatives that you promote and work toward come from the folks in the group. So, Andy, will you share with us some of the activities that SOMOS Gallup has been working on?
Yes. First of all, was that we registered 400 people to vote.
Wow. That's pretty big. How did you get that done? Did you have like a voter registration drive? Or?
Yes, we did. We've had myself and other members go out to the community. We've set up in various places. We've set up at the flea market, the community food pantry, the nightly dances here.
Great, yeah.
And one of the other places is Thunderbird mm-hmm. Indian Jewelry Supplies. We have a lot of self-employment people who are self-employed.
Who come and go there.
Who come and go there from all over the reservation. So, you know, we've gone through different events, such as the 4th of July, the Gallup Ceremonial.
Yeah, that's a good one, too, right? Yeah.
So, you know, just whatever event that was happening in or around Gallup, mm-hmm. we would try to do voters registration drive.
Yeah. And then, Andy, did you mention that you do door knocking as well?
Yes, I did. By joining SOMOS, I did voter engagement of door knocking. Mm-hmm. So going door to door within the community, knocking on their doors, and also introducing ourselves that we're SOMOS Gallup. And then at the time, the candidate we were supporting was Michelle Grisham. Mm-hmm. And so we gone out, they did their data and research, they've came up with the plans, and then dispatched us.
Great.
Throughout the
So
community.
When you would come to somebody's door, the point was to try to get them motivated to go out and vote.
Yes.
Right?
That is correct.
And you would be able to kind of take a look around you and see what their home was like or notice some things. And if you noticed, for instance, that somebody had a child.
Yes.
What would you talk to them about?
I'll talk about them about the school having more funding, mm-hmm. and that Michelle Grisham did support that as well. Mm-hmm. And then looking around and saying, yes, like, you know, these are our future. They need the education.
Yeah. And then you would probably talk to them a bit from your own experience as well.
Yes.
So
and then from my own experiences from schooling, not having them enough fundings, teachers leaving because they're not getting paid enough.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, just a lot of people had to pick up the weight and carry it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did their best. Honestly, I'm a better person than I am today if I wasn't for the help of the community ourselves. And experiencing that.
Right. And it makes a difference when the community is strong.
Yes.
That our kids have what they need to grow up then.
Yes.
So door knocking and voter registration, any of the other things that you guys were working on?
Also phone banking, implementing that within the door knocking continued as well. But from what they researched and got back is that the phone banking wasn't as effective because people change lines, lose contacts, lose their number. But it was word of mouth that got out more than, got farther than it needed to.
Okay. Yeah. So getting people motivated to get out and take responsibility for the things that were going on in our community. That's really important work. What were some of the things that you were working on with the legislature?
Yes, with the 2019 legislative session, we knew that about 3,000 proposed law, and that, you know, only a few would be passed.
Wow, yeah.
And so we wanted to... you know, we had several platforms.
Right.
And we did get a few of them passed.
Which ones did you get passed? Because so that must have been a lot of work.
So the ones that got passed were streamlining application process for standard driver's license.
Okay.
The New Mexico minimum wage, raising the New Mexico minimum wage to $12 per hour. By 2023,
mm-hmm.
Expanding renewable energy standards and ensuring rural workers aren't left behind.
Great.
And ensuring the Department of Workforce Solution having more resources to hire additional wage theft investigators.
Nice. Let's kind of go through those bit by bit. The first one that you mentioned was something about driver's licenses and streamlining the process to get a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the important part of that?
So there's the non-federal driver's license, which is the DAC, the driver's authorization card, mm-hmm. Which is now called the New Mexico driver's license.
Okay.
And that it will be renewed for 4 years to 8 years.
Great.
And no longer having to do no longer have the fingerprinting requirements.
Okay.
And it also provides protection against discrimination.
Excellent.
And then the non-federal driver's license is available for everyone who cannot or does not want to obtain the stricter real ID license.
Right.
Creating a true driver's alternative driver's license system for New Mexico.
Nice. And then the next one was the minimum wage. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's going to be implemented?
Yes. Yeah, so the increase will be as follow. It'll be raised to $9 by 2020, mm-hmm. $10.50 by 2021, $11.50 by 2022, and $12 by 2023. And for students who are under age 18 and enrolled full-time in high school, the new wage will be $8.50 by 2020. And for servers, it will be $3 by 2023.
And we know this is really important because McKinley County in particular is really struggling with income and wage. And we know that from statistics that somewhere between a third to a half of the people in McKinley County live below the poverty line. So that minimum wage raise is going to make a big difference to people here in our community, people we know and care about.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which means, you know, for for families, it'll be an additional $3,000 a year.
That's a lot.
And mm-hmm. by 2023, over $10,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Make a big difference in people's lives.
Yes.
Yes, well.
Yeah, important work.
And the next one is ensuring the Department of Workforce having more resources to ensure additional workers or additional wage theft investigators. Oh.
So this is about wage theft, which Somos Gallup has been actively working on for a long time.
Yes. And then people with wage theft, were if you were denied your last paycheck, or if you worked more than 40 hours and not get paid time and a half, you make less than minimum wage, you have to start working before you clock in, you have to work on your lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Those are all forms of wage theft, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so Somos has been working to try and make sure that these kinds of situations get addressed. Mm-hmm. They give what kind of support for folks who are experiencing wage theft? What happens when somebody comes to Somos and says, I've had my wages stolen?
So they can file a complaint. So, you know, wage theft is a huge problem here in McKinley County, and not a lot of people are aware that they are victims of wage theft. So when someone comes to us with a wage theft, you know, we help them as far as, you know, filing a complaint with mm-hmm. the Department of Workforce Solution. And that's part of the one of our fights because we have... 10,000 plus complaints that are still...
Wow, 10,000 plus, wow.
That are still, you know, just sitting there because there's not enough investigators.
Yeah.
So that was one of our fight to get more fundings so they can hire more investigators.
So some of those cases could be cleared.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and Andy was talking about the things that constitute wage theft. And you can imagine somebody going to work and then the boss says, you know, work through your lunch hour mm-hmm. or come early and work and then I'm not going to pay you for that. And at first you'd be a little bothered by that, but then you'd want to keep your job.
Yes.
So you'd kind of put up with it
mm-hmm.
and then it might get worse.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are afraid because, you know, if they tell their employer no. They're afraid of retaliation. They're afraid of losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And because it's because it's so hard to find employment here in McKinley County. So a lot of people have to put up with a lot of the demands from their employers, and which includes a lot of the wage theft.
Right. And not everybody is unionized, so they don't get protected that way.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know, Andy, you said that you've worked in the hospitality industry. How does this sort of a thing affect people in hospitality?
In the hospitality, it affects people every day. There's new people that come in every single day, and it's just the high demand of so much labor work and not being rewarded for what type of work you've been doing, even if it's like out of your credentials.
Yeah. So, I mean, people at all levels in hospitality, if you're simply talking about somebody who works in a hotel, you're talking about everything from housekeeping to custodial work to things like that, to the people who are the receptionists
and breakfast attendants. Yeah. And, you know, it's just so easy how replaceable you are.
Right. And that makes it so that workers don't have the kind of authority to change the rules or keep the rules for themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So since, you know, we've been out in the community educating our community about what wage theft is, we have had several workers come forward and have filed complaints.
Mm-hmm. That's really important work. And it almost gives them kind of the background support and the personal support that they need to get that process moving forward so they can get their wages back.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, you know, what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And are there some things that you're still working on that haven't gotten passed yet but that are still important that we would want to hear about?
Yes. Although, you know, we've had, like I said, you know, we've gotten the minimum wage passed. Mm-hmm. We've gotten more resources for the workforce. Yeah, there's still a lot of work ahead of us. And of course, you know, we do work with, our communities, with immigrants. Mm, yeah. So we're continuing to work with them. We're ensuring that the state and local resources are not used to separate immigrant families.
Boy, that's important.
And then protecting every New Mexican's sensitive personal information. So those are some of the things that we are still working on. Mm-hmm.
Well, and as far as the immigration issue goes, if we're just talking about people who have been come into the United States and sought either asylum or citizenship through the process, and they're being released from the ICE, mm-hmm. And then at this point they're being released in such large numbers, we know in the border towns, that they're now shipping people up to Albuquerque and other cities north and trying to get them out of the border cities.
Yes, and we do need workers to help, you know, as far as, just as you stated, there's a lot of people that are being released. We have a celebration that's coming up, which is May 1st.
Yes.
And it is the National Workers' Day
celebration.
And so basically, all, you know, we are wanting to invite the whole community.
Everybody's invited.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And it's just we are celebrating all the contribution made by all workers, working families, and immigrant workers. So it's a huge victory for families to get the minimum wage raised.
So May 1st?
May 1st.
And where is it going to be held?
The information I got was Ford Canyon.
It'll be at Ford Canyon on Wednesday, May 1st, starting at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
And we will have free food, face painting, cake walk, and live music by Serenade Country Boys.
Okay. That sounds like a fun time.
Yes.
Yeah. And just a Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it will be a fun time. You know, everyone's invited. You know, bring everybody.
It's for the whole family, isn't it?
It's for the whole family.
It's going to have a lot of things for everybody.
Yes.
And just a time to celebrate the folks who do the hard work of our community and keep us going, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, and all of this, you know, it's just not SOMOS doing it. It's a coalition of other organizations.
Mm-hmm. What other organizations are involved with this?
The New Mexico Social and Equality Justice Institute, McKinley County Health Alliance, Westminster Presbyterian Church, and St. Francis Church.
Great. So it comes from our community for our community.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's really important. The last part of this conversation, if you would, just would you mind sharing a little bit of your own stories and the reason that this work with SOMOS is so important to you personally? And if I may start with you, Andy.
Yeah. Without having a motive or an objective of coming in within this organization, and then as coming in as a door knocker and then meeting the people within the community face to face and talking amongst us, there was conversations we've had, like we've known each other for years.
Yeah.
People I've talked to, male or female, and in just engaging with them, giving them the information. We were scripted for what to say, and it helped. But going beyond that and then talking amongst each other like we're friends, it's really great. And with my experiences with this, it's opened up my eyes a lot more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've become more and more aware of the issues that are going on in our community and how important that is, not only to the people you know, but people that you haven't even met.
Yes.
In our community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty important step for, I think, almost any of us.
Yeah.
You know, there's a place in our lives where we do what we need to do, and we're concerned about the people we know and we love. But when we take that step to recognize that some of those same issues impact other people that we don't know, it changes things for us.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. What is your background, Andy, that tells you that this is important work?
My background is gaining the experiences throughout this community. I've worked for TNR on the north side of 491, and getting my experiences from that, from bagging groceries, and then taking out the groceries for elderly or anybody who needs assistance. Then gaining the experiences as a cashier, communicating, talking with other customers that are coming in and out.
Yeah.
Getting to recognize regulars. And then from that type of job to working at a fast food restaurant at a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I've only worked there for 2 years. But I found out the customer service was the route I wanted to go in.
Nice.
And it gets you more engaged with more people. There's people that recognize you still. They're like, didn't you used to work here? Like, you always tell me it was Wendy's. Like, no, you got it close. It's McDonald's. And then as getting older, because I started when I was 13, so I worked throughout my junior high school years, all the way to high school itself. And as soon as I graduated, I continued working. I worked at Journeys in the Mall, Rio West Mall.
Yeah.
That was quite an experience, being a sales associate. And then learning the tactics of what you do, you have to go by their tactics, and it works.
Because
it's all calculated. It's all a plan.
Right.
And then it's you as a sales associate, you have to execute the plan.
Right.
And
but it all involves interaction with other people,
yes it does,
yeah.
Yes it does. And working as a sales associate for journeys, and I got thrown into the hotel business by my mom by picking
hey,
her up.
Mom.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. And she volunteered me to talk to the manager at the time, and she goes, "Hey, like, he'll like to try out for a receptionist." And then I said, "Yeah, I'll try it. You know, it's something to experience." Yeah. And from there on, I've been a receptionist for 9 years now.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost my ability of communicating with people working as a night clerk, mm-hmm. working 3 years as a night clerk, because all I did was just clock in, made reservations. You'd be surprised at how many people call from midnight to 7 a.m. Oh, to make reservations. See, like, and then just, I didn't really communicate amongst that until I volunteered to work 3 to 11 for the rest of the 3 years I worked there. And it opened me up back again.
Yeah.
And it gave me back the communication skills I needed. And now I present that everywhere I go.
Right.
And
then also working with them through SOMOS.
Yes.
And this process that you've been through, yes. teaching you to kind of just meet people.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then from that, what I'm hearing you say is that you are learning people's individual stories.
Yes.
Tells you, again, that each person is a very precious thing.
Yes, it is.
Very special. Yeah. So working that every person's life would be a better thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And then getting to know people more throughout the hotel business, it's international.
Yeah.
You meet people from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them really get to know me, even though they don't speak English. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I try to communicate with body movement.
Yeah.
Body movement, right. What they're doing.
And facial expressions.
Yeah. If they do know, they will let you know definitely from face expressions.
Yeah.
And I've had them, like, once they get, like, if they stay more than a month, they're starting to pick up some words.
Yeah.
Or what's really great about technology is, like, the translations.
Yeah.
There's some that you can type in what you're saying. It'll translate it back into their native language.
Yeah.
And once they write it back and then you just read it back, it's okay. It's like they're asking for my physical address, as which they will mail me, like, their treats from their from where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I have a lot of friends out in Germany.
Nice.
And then for the holidays, they'll send me out their treats of their childhood liking.
Yeah.
And get in a box of that. It's like, wow, like communicating with not only people within this community or within this community, but just get, well, because what my manager always said is that you're the first and last impression.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's the type of impression I want to give the people. Like, we are a good community. We're our stronger community.
Right.
And when people do stay here and leave, they say, like, this place is so nice. Everybody we ran into, civilian, or employee to the manager, everybody's nice.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to hear about this community. And, you know, and being the front line of that is really great.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
Kat, would you share a little bit with me about the reasons that you do this work with SOMOS?
I was also a victim of discrimination
mm-hmm.
through my previous employment. I was part of a union, and even as a union worker, I faced a lot of challenges.
In your job?
In my job. And that's where I came across SOMOS. They were doing a workers' rights presentation at the library, so I sat in and joined. And so
even though you're represented by a union, the work of SOMOS was still important.
Yes, the support, the information that I couldn't get from my union, SOMOS was able to help me with that.
Great.
And not only that, it was more of a support system for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had my own union who was representing me, you know, SOMOS welcomed me in, and I became a member,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I started with.
And how long have you been a member with SOMOS?
I've been a member with SOMOS for the past year.
Wow.
And it's got me to get out to do a lot of community events, mm-hmm. Community awareness. So.
And has that changed your perspective?
Yes. again, like I said, you know, I was in a job where I was working 8 to 5, coming home, being mentally tired, you know, just kind of enclosed myself at home.
Yeah.
But
as most of us do, right?
Yeah, there's so much more.
You work,
out
you
there.
Go home.
So much more out there, mm-hmm. because, you know, going out in the community, talking with community, there are a lot of, you know, workers that are struggling just because they're non-union. They're not, they don't have union, and, you know, there's a lot of things happening within their job, such as wage theft. Mm-hmm. So,
and without union representation or some sort of cohesive group that holds together, then they don't have protection.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, I think a lot of my interest came into, it came in with Somos, where, you know, I could help mm-hmm. those that don't have the union protection.
And have an impact mm-hmm. on people's real lives.
Yes.
Yeah. And how does it feel being a part of a group like Somos that does this action work? For you personally?
For me personally, I feel like we are creating a shift in our behavior, or in the behavior in our community. We want to make workers aware of their rights mm-hmm. and that, you know, that wage theft is real and it's happening.
Yeah. And somewhere along the line, somebody has to step up and speak out.
Yes, and making those employers held accountable for what they're doing to their workers.
Yeah.
So I feel like we are making a change, and I feel like, you know, being out in our community, talking to our community, we are educating and we are making people aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Community seems to be a word we've used a lot this morning.
Yes.
And I think that feels pretty important for both of you.
Yeah.
That our community continues to improve and in the way that we treat each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slowly but surely, we see those changes, and we see a lot more, you know, working people, working families coming out, sharing stories, and a lot of people do say that they appreciate Somos Gallup for being out there.
Yeah, and stepping up on particular issues that are important to, I think, all of us.
Yes.
Yeah. If folks want some more information, what can they do?
Yes, they can. They can go on the website at www.somosunpuebleunido.org, or they can call us at 505-424-7832. We also have our monthly meetings the second Wednesday of every month at the St. Francis Church on the north side.
Great. So the folks can find more information if they'd like to get mm-hmm. involved.
And our meetings are at 5:00. So
wonderful. Well, I want to thank you both for being here today and helping us understand a little bit more about Somos Gallup and the good work that's being done. And I hope that you'll see some new folks getting involved.
Yes.
I understand that in the last little while, you've joined 400 new people to Somos.
Well, we've registered 400 plus people to vote. We've with our campaign, we've had 500 plus people, and along the way, a lot of people have signed up to join Somos.
Great, so more involvement.
We have over 100 plus members in our.
That's great.
In our group.
That's mm-hmm. great. Thank you both for being here today. Appreciate it.
And you're welcome.
We'll be hearing more about Somos, I think, in the future.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.